Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Please be seated. They say that is believing. Doubting Thomas lived by this motto. He said that he wouldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the grave until he had placed his fingers in the holes in Jesus' hand and put his hand in Jesus' side. But the notion of seeing is believing runs contrary to Christian faith. Webster's dictionary defines faith as a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Holy Scripture teaches and praises those who live by blind faith. Faith that you don't have to see it, you just believe it based upon God's word. Salvation is ours by God's grace alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Jesus alone. That's sort of our Lutheran bread and butter, you might say. So if blind faith is so important, does it really make sense that in our Old Testament lesson, the Lord would instruct Moses to put a serpent up on a staff so the people could look at it and be healed? In our Old Testament text, the Israelites are grumbling against Moses and against God. They apparently thought life was so much better in bondage in Egypt under the taskmaster's whip. And it wasn't because they had no food. They thought they deserved better food. They thought they deserved better treatment. They had become entitled and privileged and certainly ungrateful. Like any parent who's finally been worn down to their last thread, God's patience ran thin. He'd finally had enough. So the Lord God sent fiery serpents into the camp to call the people to repentance. And did they ever repent? The poisonous bites were sending people to their graves. And they showed the people the wages of their sin. Our text says the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." God never abandons his children. But as usual, God doesn't act in the same way that you and I probably would have acted. Myself, I thought he would have just drove the serpents away. But that wasn't the case. God provided a Savior. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Those who looked to the bronze serpent looked in faith of the Word of God. They were saved from the poison of the serpent that had bitten them. Now, we might scratch our heads and say, now, it doesn't make sense. How would this bronze serpent, this inanimate object, bring healing to someone who had been bitten? The serpent means death and poison. And the bronze serpent just mimics that, but has no healing power in its own. But that bronze serpent had God's word of promise attached to it. That might remind you of something you had to memorize back in your catechism days. Do you remember the time the pastor asked you, "How can a bronze serpent do such great things?" Well, he probably never did ask you that. But regarding baptism, he probably asked, How can water do such great things? Luther's answer, certainly not just water, but the Word of God in with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. By the power of the Word of God, it's the power of God's promise attached to this bronze serpent that gave power to those who looked upon the serpent in faith to be healed and saved. Having faith in the promise brought their salvation. And those who looked elsewhere, they surely died. Now, I know some people have said, well, they still cooperated in their faith because they had to physically look up and see the serpent. But I would say that that is not the case. Every bit of their salvation, 100% of that salvation, rests on God's word of promise. Looking to the bronze serpent didn't add anything to their deliverance. They were merely looking in faith to the promise. It's a faithful response to the word of God. It would have been impossible if you truly believed that that serpent was going to heal you, but then you refused to look. But people still refuse to look to Jesus every day. They say they believe that salvation comes through faith alone in Christ alone. They say they have faith in Jesus, but where do they look in faith? Many times they look to the pleasures and the treasures of the world rather than where the gift of God is given out in word and sacrament. Where do you look in faith? Is it in science? Is it in your own intellect or your money? You see, God looked down upon you and saw that you were snake bit. You were stung by the poison of the old serpent, the devil, and he saw you lying there dead in your trespasses and your sins. He saw that you were living as a child of wrath, living in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And he saw that you needed an antidote to heal you from the poison of sin. So what did he do? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Paul expands on this in our epistle text. He writes, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved you, even when you were dead in your trespasses, made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." You see, when Jesus humbled himself, leaving the glory of heaven, he knew exactly what he was getting himself into. He knew exactly what he was purchasing with his blood. And he told the disciples in our gospel text, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Sometimes in Bible study, we'll talk about types and shadows in Scripture. Typology is when we read about a person or event in the Old Testament, and then it foreshadows a person or an event in the New Testament. And our Old Testament and the New Testament texts today are perfect typology. It's easy to see how the two work together. Consider a few comparisons. Moses' bronze serpent hanging on the pole, it had every appearance of being a poisonous snake. Jesus' body hanging on the cross was hanging between two other sinners, had every appearance of a body being poisoned with sin. Back to the serpent, contrary to its appearance, it had no poison. It was perfectly harmless. And Jesus' body hanging on the cross, while it had the appearance of a sinful man, he was the spotless Lamb of God who carried sin in your stead and mine. In the case of the serpent, those who were snake bit looked to the serpent in faith of God's word of promise, and they were healed. And obviously, we know from childhood that all who are poisoned from the daily sins and transgressions of this world can look to the cross of Jesus in faith, trusting in his very word that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's Jesus' promise to you. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. You see, all Holy Scripture, Old Testament and New, it all points to the cross of Jesus, his work of salvation on our behalf. God does all of the work. You and I, we just merely sit back and receive God's gifts. We receive the gift of faith from God. We receive the gifts of grace by God. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And Paul tells us again in our epistle text that grace and faith are gifts. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All good things are gifts from God. Salvation is yours by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Christ Jesus alone. Jesus delivers all these precious gifts to you, the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, right here in worship, by means of word and sacrament. Jesus makes you this promise, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He also promises you, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." He promises, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, this is my blood, for the forgiveness of sins." Being forgiven is the power by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by that Holy Spirit, you are now free to show your fruits of faith by performing good works. Not that the good works are going to add anything to your salvation, because Jesus has already done all the work. But the good works are for the good of your neighbor. In our hymn earlier, we sang where we look to our faith. We sang, "Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer." And in the ninth stanza, "Faith clings to Jesus Christ alone and rests in him unceasing." Brothers and sisters in Christ, cling to the cross of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.